Dear flashcards, I confess, my emotions have been a mess. Cause you changed everything we ever knew. From witches to poison, and the queen walked too. Whoa, I've been wrong.
I was wrong.
Been out all night.
Way too long.
Getting hogs and Valkyries.
I pushed that button and believe in you again.
Welcome to episode 79 of Pineapples and Thorns. I'm Kat, and I have Peter here with me again tonight. Welcome, Peter.
Hello, Kat. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
Can't complain. It's Friday night.
Friday. The sun is out. It's going to melt all the snow here in Winnipeg, and spring may be upon us.
We're plus, and the sun has gone down here.
Yeah.
But daylight savings this weekend, so I'll be going home in the light again.
We are so excited about that.
Yes.
All right, you want to take us into some CFF news?
Yes, we have lots to talk about. I'm going to start right with the Trojan War. So we were losing 0-58 when the final 15 minutes of the war rolled around. And in those 15 minutes, we managed to accumulate 69 stars.
Woo-hoo.
It was a lot of fun, yes. There were so many triples off the bat. That was ridiculous.
They're so much fun.
And, you know, this is kind of a good time to be having these things, you know, when you can pretty much not guarantee a three-star, but put a good hit on any base. So it's it's a little bit easier to follow up, right? There's not as much study as required. So it was good.
Yeah. And Mord's streamed that war. So, and he was in it. So it was a lot.
And he was in it. Yeah. I did not get to watch the stream. I was all I could do to get on. I kept warning my family, look, I need to be on. I need to be talking to people that night.
Very important.
Very important. What else is going on? Oh, SCWL. So we're right. I think we're just coming up on the start of War 7 as of the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Red Thorn is in Champs 2. When I checked about 10 minutes ago, we were sitting in fifth spot. But that is only 3 stars out of relegation, which is kind of scary. But at the same time, we're only 10 spots out of second place. So it's incredibly close. We need to perform. No 1 stars. And I think we'll be okay. I think we'll stick in Champs 2 this month.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's tough, like in Champs and any of the Champs levels, but they're just so close, you know.
And the wars are ridiculously overweighted. Like we lost with 35 stars, right? It's just, it's a lot of 3 stars. So hard to defend right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about
it. Okay.
TGF Rising is in Champions 3. They happen to also be in fifth place, but they are 19 stars out of relegation and actually 18 stars out of first place. So I think we're just going to finish in the middle. We've won 3 wars and we're lost 3 wars. So this final war will kind of determine if we're in the top half or the bottom half. Again, lots and lots of 3 stars, but losing with, you know, many, many triples. So difficult.
Mm-hmm. And those 1 stars really hurt when you start getting 1 or 2 of those in a war.
Yeah, I've been struggling because, you know, I want to use, you know, some sort of blimp to the town hall. And if you get trolled, it's just oof, bad. So I watched some other guys suffer. So it's tricky. Need to minimize those ones. And the good old Rated is in Masters 1. They were able to field an entire Town Hall 16 lineup. They haven't finished their War 6, or they're in War 6, and they've won 3, lost 2, and they're likely going to stay in Masters 1. So
yes,
that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
The CFF esports teams, they didn't make the very first pre-warm-up qualifier. They ended up losing their matches, but they're in again this weekend. So cheer on TCF Pulsar and TCF Quasar. I hope those guys do some good stuff this weekend.
Yeah, I wish it would be streamed because that could watch, but it'll be fun to sort of follow along in Discord and see how they do.
Yeah, I guess it's a little too early, right? There got to be a lot of teams in all these pre-qualifiers, so
It'd
be hard for the streamers to pick and choose, so they'd be run ragged.
Exactly.
All right, we had an update.
Oh boy.
We talked about it in the last show, and now it's finally dropped. So we got, you know, the new levels on Infernos and Teslas, the Owls, Collectors, Scattershots, and the Black, the Seeking Air Mine, the Black Mine.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing on those upgrades? Were you able to start on all of them right away?
Yeah, I had a fair amount of loot saved up. It's, you know, just been slow going, waiting for the builders to finish before I move on to the next thing. But I am making progress.
I know they talked about kind of holding the upgrade times to what they are, but they are still very long, even with gold passes, you know, the scatter shots. I was mm-hmm. looking, I thought, oh, this one's going to be done soon. Still had 9 days to go. Yeah. You know, it just, yeah, it is what it is, but it takes too long.
Yeah, 14 days is a long time.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, we got that little goblin helper guy. Have you taken advantage of him? Are you spending some green elixir to move things
Not
along?
A chance.
Nope. Not a chance. Okay.
Not a chance.
Fair enough. So in the lab, we also got new levels on the minion, good old hog rider, bowlers, and baby dragons. Oh, and the siege barrack got an extra level, and that now releases two P.E.K.K.A.s, which a lot mm-hmm. of the guys in Redthorn have been dabbling with. They think it's really good.
I love
it. And the original log launcher. I think we said Stone Slammer the last, or not Stone Slammer. I think we said the Wall Wrecker the last podcast, but definitely the log launcher. How about any of those? Did you do any of those quickly?
Yeah, I swapped to the siege barracks. I was using the mm-hmm. log launcher on my root rider attacks, and I switched over thanks to Doc, his advice, to use the siege barracks. You know, you've got so many extra troops in there. You've got the two P.E.K.K.A.s plus I forget how many wizards you get, and so I'm using that to help set the funnel. I'm still wrecking with my Root Rider Valk attack. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I noticed you posted today you were one attack away from perfect in Legends. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. Close. Everybody says Cat's OP, but...
Just lucky.
And then that brings us to the Overgrowth spell. Are you using the Overgrowth spell in that army?
I have not used it yet.
So, again, at Town Hall 12 is when it will unlock at level 1, and we get 22 seconds of freeze. Mm-hmm. Invisibility, and then also invulnerability, which is crazy. It'll advance as high as 28 seconds at level 4. We Town Hall 16s can get up to 28 seconds. It's a very long time. I had a thought that someone's going to do a swag spell and they're going to catch the edge of that collector and they'll be very sorry.
Can you imagine if you accidentally dropped it at the end of your attack?
Yeah.
And time failed because you couldn't see that the building that you needed to take out.
Yeah, that'd be so bad. So bad. I have started upgrading it. I played around with it in a couple of FCs just mm-hmm. to kind of see the effect. It's a very, very, very big radius. Like, I was surprised at how big the radius is.
Well, and did you notice that if someone attacks you with it, it leaves debris around the same way like the Santa spell does? It leaves like gifts. Well, this Overgrowth spell leaves like little plants or something, and then you have to clear it. And
yeah, I did notice that.
A little bit of elixir or something with it.
Yeah, I did notice that on one of my accounts. I cleared them, unfortunately, and then it was like, oh, I think that was Overgrowth. That's fun. I think the pros are going to get great use out of that. I'm kind of waiting to see how they use it. A couple of guys in the clan have been talking about using it to funnel, you know, a boring corner and then mm-hmm. you know, drive their troops deep quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. It's interesting. I'm glad they come up with something unique. And the, you know, it's only two spell slots. It's not, you know, a freeze and a invis. You know, they almost could have made it three, and I was anticipating three. I was kind of pleasantly surprised with only two spell slots.
Yeah.
And then another really interesting thing is they added the progress bars back into the game. So this now, when you go to upgrade that Inferno Tower, you can see it's the last upgrade on that Inferno Tower.
Yeah, a lot of people were missing that.
I didn't know I was missing it. And then when it was back, it was like, yes, I like this. Especially on my lower accounts, right? The Town Hall 15 mm-hmm. and stuff. It's like, oh boy. Okay. Got a long way to go on that thing, but that's good.
Yeah.
And then this one is for C-Note Clan Wars. They've made an adjustment. So if you're on a, I think C-Note and Iceman were on a, I think a 15 more win streak and they ended up in a tie and mm-hmm. they lost their streak. Well, no longer. If it ends in a tie, it will now be a perfect draw and they won't, neither clan will lose their win streak. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it is kind of nice for those clans that have really long win streaks, and people work hard to get those. So,
and they're not easy. Not easy to get those streaks. Yeah. What else did we see? Well, we saw a couple of balance changes. There's some nerfs, but we're going to talk about that in a second. And then they fixed the immunity from the King's Gauntlet if he's in the Warden's aura before he activates his thing. So they fixed that finally. I don't know why that was such a big thing. I guess they really had it deep in the code. I don't quite understand, but they needed a big update to fix it. So.
And that gauntlet is back in the shop again, apparently, for those people who missed getting it during the event.
And Raz was one of those guys that was away out of the game when that dropped. And so he actually went and bought it. He thought, oh my gosh, 1500, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, remember though, and now other YouTubers have backed this up, you needed, I think, I'm going to say 3,000 cookie medals. Mm-hmm. And we could buy a hero book for about 1,000 cookie medals. So, you know, it's kind of in line, right? If 500 is a hero book in gems, then 1,500 is kind of what the gauntlet is worth in game equivalencies. So he went
exactly.
Yeah. It's a long grind now. He's, you know, feels like he's behind and he's trying to rush to catch back up. And I said, yeah, you know what? Got your other equipment up. So you're not really that far behind. You just got to wait for it to get up to maybe level 9 or so before you start to use it.
We'll all get there.
We will all get there. We will, eventually. The RC equipment. Have you upgraded either the Hog Puppet or the Haste Vial? Have you tried either one of those?
I am using the Haste Vial, and mine is not max yet. I really like it. It's amazing how fast the RC moves when you activate that, and it saved my attacks. I've tripled because of this ability a few times because she just like whips through the remaining defenses and even will take out the enemy Barbarian King if he's still up.
Wow. What did you give up to be able to take the Haste Vial?
The Seeking Shield.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
I kind of think of that as her signature move. So I haven't played with them yet. I've thrown a couple of rounds of ore onto them, but I'm still trying to get my gauntlet higher. So it's just an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I know Trample loves the Hog Puppet, but I haven't really played around with that one yet.
It makes a lot of sense, right? It's like the king had the barbarians and the queen had her thing. So she turns invisible for 1 second, just enough to get defenses off her. And it's a lot of hogs that come out at high level. Again, until they're max, it's hard to really say.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the, I think it was Itsu said, you know, right, you need to give us this in friendly challenge where we can see what it's like in higher level. So we know if we want to invest this valuable ore into it.
Yes, I remember him saying that. That's actually a really great idea because used to have at one point, and I'm not sure if they still do, where you could test things out.
Yeah, the super troops, right? We could test them out in that little qualified base. Yeah, it'd be great if they could let us try out the equipment.
Yeah, I think I would like that because then you could see, like you said, if you can see the Hog Puppet at max, this is what it can do. And then you can decide, well, I want to focus my ore because ore is at such precious resource, more precious than dark elixir.
100%. Agreed. Yes, agreed. Okay, there was also a bunch of nerfs.
Oh boy.
And we're going to start with the Super Barbarian and the Super Archer. They each got a little bit of a hit point reduction. Mostly so, I think a giant bomb can take them out. But lastly is the Root Rider.
The beloved Root Rider.
What do you think of them nerfing the Root Rider, Kat?
Well, I really can't understand why they would nerf, in particular, the Root Riders. It's a signature troop for Town Hall 16. You know, Town Hall 15 was Clash of Drags, and we all hated Town Hall 15. It was impossible to triple. Can't tell you how many people contacted me saying, I just am so frustrated with 15, I want to quit the game. Yeah. And then along comes Town Hall 16 that, you know, Supercell promised that they were going to give us something and just hold on till 16. It's like, just keep your fingers on that ledge. Hold on. Something good is coming. And it was a breath of fresh air. It was so much fun. People were discovering the fun of ground attacks again. Yes, the Root Riders were crazy strong. But, you know, there was all this talk of nerfing them before any of, like, half of the defenses hadn't even dropped. You know, you've got people upgrading scatter shots, and there's still levels on the Monolith and Eagle to come. So why nerf the signature troop of Town Hall 16 before you can see what max defenses do to it? I know on Twitter, Fairy mentioned, he's the new community manager. He mentioned that they have heard the community because the pro community has been extremely vocal He says that Supercell is working on a solution that does not involve more nerfs necessarily. I'm really hoping they can figure out what to do. I don't know that they can actually satisfy both sides, both the pro side and the casual side. I don't see how they can do it.
Because the pros really liked Town Hall 15, didn't they?
They loved Town Hall 15. It was, and yeah, it was hard, and it was a challenge for them. And I get that, you know, here you have like the top 1 or 2% of players that they are so good at the game. They, you know, they can see everything that they need to do in order to triple bases, and they want that challenge. I get that. But then you have the average player who, you know, they get on the game a couple hours a day. You know, they want to do their wars and farm their accounts and hang out with their friends. And they're, you know, they're excited that they can go into a war and have a shot at tripling. You know, I mean, no, I should not be able to go in and triple every attack that I do. So I admit that definitely the Root Rider was overpowered. But I think that they just, I know that they test these troops before they release them. So I'm not really sure how they released a troop that was so overpowered and people fell in love with it. And it's like a child, you know, you give them a toy, but it's like, no, you can't have it. Now you've played with it enough and now we're going to take it back and we'll give you this toy. It's not quite as good, but you got to be satisfied with that. You know what I mean?
Yes. But often they did this with other troops, and I can't think of one, unfortunately. I think maybe bowlers were like this when we first started, and everybody gemmed their bowlers.
Yeah, I remember one.
Okay.
Town Hall 10 was extremely frustrating because we didn't have, this is before Siege Machines.
Yes.
And they gave us the bat spell.
Oh, well, right.
The bat spell was amazing. You could triple again at Town Hall 10. And I thought, okay, I love this game. And then they nerfed the bat spell. It's like, okay, I'm going to 11.
Yeah. but they do that, right? Within maybe a month or so. So everybody that's going to gems it to get it. So now you can triple again. And then they nerf it. It seems like they waited an awfully long time to nerf Root Riders. It's almost like the clamor of the pros got to them.
I think so. I think they realized that, you know, maybe they should have done a little bit more testing with this troop before they released it, and because it's really hard to claw something like that back when, you know, people fall in love with it. You know, everybody, I know at first, when everybody first saw the Root Rider, they were just kind of mocking this troop and saying, well, what is this? But once you started playing around with it and you realize this thing is really, really strong, you know, to take it away from people and to nerf it really hard. And I mean, they could have nerfed it a lot harder. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they sure could have.
You know, it was still noticeable. Now, to me, I find that I'm still doing okay with it. You know, there's definitely, when I'm hitting bases that have adjusted, and probably within another month, most people will have bases that have adjusted to Root Rider, the new Root Rider meta, and defenses will be in place and upgraded. You're not going to be tripling nearly as much.
But at the same time, all those defenses are going to affect every other attack too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's not only going to be the Root Rider that feels it. I switched to Dragons the day the update dropped, or no, a couple of days before the update dropped, just to kind of in anticipation. Mm-hmm. And then everyone's, Root Riders are fine. Root Riders are fine.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are using the Super Hogs, and I've heard some people going back to hybrids, so I might have to try that, especially with the Hog Puppet. If I get that upgraded, it might be something worth checking out.
Worth checking out, yeah. Yep. The last thing is those competitive players. You said 1%, but I think it's got to be way less than 1%. You know, we had one guy leave out of 50, so, and not every clan loses people. I think it could even be less. And I hate to say it, but, you know, Clash of Clans never started as an esport thing. I hope they don't. I hope they don't cave too much to the pro player. Yes, I know it's too easy for them, but how would it really affect Clash of Clans if we lost esports? I guess that would not drag new people to the game, perhaps.
Yeah, it's hard to say because you're right. It's Clash of Clans started as just a fun little mobile game where people were building their villages, and then they brought wars into it, and it's just grown so much and evolved so much that it's, I think it's at a tipping point where it needs to decide what it wants to be.
Yeah, that's right. It needs to decide what it wants to be. All right, so on to the March event. Well, we don't know what the March event is just yet, but we feel like there probably will be another ore-centric rewarded event because we're all still clamoring for ores. There really is, and you know, this is kind of one of those things that I've always said, Clash of Clans really isn't pay to win. You know, everyone can catch up eventually. These events kind of make it feel like you have to buy that pass to get all those extra ores in order to upgrade your equipment. I think they really are double dipping on us, as it were. So, you know, yeah. I still need the gold pass because I like to donate, but I also need the event pass because I want to see what the better hero equipment will do. What do you think of the event?
I like the chance to get the extra ore. I don't like, I mean, you know, like in Canada, we're paying $9.99 in-game for the gold pass and then $8.99 for this event pass. It's starting to add up. And then there's more every week, there's offers in the shop. You know, they're getting smart in that they're not making these really super expensive offers anymore. They're throwing out these little $5 offers and $20 offers because it's a little bit more palatable to people. Well, it's only, you know, $10. I'll just buy this, and I'll buy that. And next thing you know, you've spent a fair amount of money each month on the game. You know, if you're that person who wants to spend money, not everybody is spending money. There's a lot of free-to-play players out there, and they're probably really hurting for ore. And right. I know Itsu mentioned that there should be probably at least one other way to get ore in the game, specifically for the free-to-play players. Like, why not have some kind of a ore mine or something in the game where, you know, when you're doing your farming, you're collecting all the other resources. Why can't you collect ore?
Or like the capital builder, right, where we can spend our golden elixir and dark and convert that over a period of time into capital gold. You know, they could do something similar where we spend cap. And it just, you know, you get one in a day. But still, it would add up over time.
Yeah, I agree. It would be nice.
Yeah.
I do think that they do come out a little bit too often. You know, like we were talking, this, you know, Gold Pass, Clan Capital, SECWL. It's just, to me, it's just a bit too much.
And in February, with it was already a short month, they ended up shortening SCWL to fit in their event, which is great, except the chaos it caused everyone. I mean, we've heard this all across every podcast and, you know, just the clamoring to just let us know. We can handle it. We would like a little more plan, please.
Yeah. That communication.
Yeah.
All right. Supercell has let it out. Let us be known. But the timeline for a new town hall is now every 12 months instead of every 18 months. Good or bad, Peter?
I think it's good for the group we have in Redthorn. I think it's going to be really tough for anyone trying to catch up. You know, that's going to just be an awful lot of stuff. I know they reduced timing when the new town hall releases, but still, it is a long grind. I think it's over a couple of years. It's hard to get caught up.
Yeah.
And if they speed up by 50%, that's going to be a lot of stuff to catch up to.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like much at first. You don't think, oh, it's only 6 months. But, you know, if you're upgrading, like I've got an account that I'm currently, the town hall is under construction going to 14. And then I'm working on my 15 and still farming around for my 16s. I'm kind of suffering a little bit of farming burnout.
Yeah.
You know, because I was thinking, oh, I'd really like to take this account up and that account up to the next level. And I'm just thinking, ugh, it's such a grind on it each is. One.
Did you watch Itsu's video about that?
I did. It's a really great video. And I recommend everybody check out his content. He puts out a lot of good stuff.
He is really insightful, isn't he? Yes.
Yeah. He did talk about free-to-play versus the gold pass players. You know, the fact that Town Hall 16 builder times have greatly reduced, and it seems like the Town Hall updates are somewhat smaller in scope, so more frequent updates with more content and lower upgrade times equals faster progression, supposedly. And Clash of Clans is about progressing. The max players get bored quickly, and Supercell then runs the danger of losing the player base, right?
Right.
You know, so it's like this catch-22. You have to keep giving people things to upgrade. But like you said, then you're kind of running the danger of leaving behind a large group of players who are desperately trying to catch up. And it's like chasing that golden egg in the future.
Yeah, everyone is trying to become max, but really don't want to be max, right? We always want to be playing for something.
Mm-hmm. And we did have an interesting question from someone in the Redthorn voice chat. They wanted to know, how does a player new to the game progress to a town hall level where they can play the game with a reasonable expectation of learning strategies and eventually progressing to 16? You know, where can a player go these days to learn? You know, let's face it, the game demands a ton of practice at the higher levels, and learning things like funneling and how to use your heroes. And with every new troop and spell added to the game, the complexity increases. You know, for people who play some of those games like Fortnite, you log in, you can play at the same level as anyone else immediately. It's the onus is on you to learn how to shoot your gun or whatever. Mm-hmm. In Clash, it takes years to progress to be able to play at the higher levels. You know, and there's really, you know, unless somebody in your clan wants to take the time to sit with you and try and teach you strategies, where do people go for that?
I don't have an answer. Because, of course, they couldn't even come into Renthorn, and we might be good teachers. But as a Town Hall 10 or 11, you're not getting into Redthorn to get exposure to us.
Well, and the CFF used to have a teaching clan, but it was focused on the lower levels of people coming into the game. Kent Greenhouse, I spent a number of years there in leadership and trying to teach people how to read a base and how to funnel and do these things. But, you know, the lower level player base was gradually dying out, and eventually that clan, you know, kind of shut its doors because there just wasn't enough players to sustain it at that point. But, you know, it just seems like there is a need for something like that. But, you know, even like videos, it would be nice if more content creators could put out videos like that. But then would they get the views? I don't know.
That's right. It's got to be a return on their investment of time, right?
Definitely. It's a lot of work to put those together.
Yes.
So referencing Itsu again, the game is about progression. And I'll quote Darian from our 50th episode. If you want more content and all the toys and to learn to play new things, move up to the next town hall, right?
Right.
There are resources now for people who want to put in the effort to get better. You know, and we talked about needing more content, but there are some, you know, Trample's put out a lot of good stuff. Itsu's videos are good. And there's a lot of the older videos that people could pull up as well. We talk about, I think it was Jake from One Hive. Yeah. He really focused in the old days on the basics of how to do queen charges and queen walks and things like that. So it's, that might be just a matter of people having to pull up the old stuff to learn the basics, because a lot of it applies today even.
Agreed. I go back to Carbon Finn, and he taught us all how to lalo. Mm-hmm. And I'm using it at low town hall levels, but you know, I think it all applies.
He is very good at that, isn't he?
Now he is, but there's some videos out there where he's just making funny noises as he fails and fails and fails. He really did a lot of work to get himself up.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
One other thing Itsu did mention is, and we spoke briefly about it, was that he would like to see one more source of ore. And then we talked about the testing the equipment so that you can decide what kind of equipment is best to focus on. So it's nice to see that he's sort of in tune with what the community is thinking.
Yes.
And there's so many equipment choices. It's getting kind of difficult to decide where to allocate that ore. I've got a lot of different pieces of equipment that are in various stages, but then I'm stuck because I need the pink ore.
The
blue ore. Yeah. Not so much the starry ore, but the other stuff.
Yeah, there almost needs to be a conversion, right? We could give up one starry to get five pink. That would be very helpful. And you could always balance.
Yeah, have it not just available for gems or buying in the shop, but once a week, be able to buy something with your capital metals. That would be nice.
That would be great, yeah.
All right. Another thing that we got in this last update, which I really want to talk about, is the new chat feature. What do you think?
I don't love it. It takes up so much room on the side now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put our name. There's a couple spaces. Then what we've actually said, a couple more spaces. You can have four messages on the screen, and it just scrolls so fast.
Yeah. I agree. It's a lot of wasted space.
Yeah.
I find it very difficult. Well, especially at first, I'm starting to get used to it, but at first it was very difficult to follow the flow of conversation.
Yeah.
The message box at the bottom of the menu is really awkward. You know, you have the clan message, then the challenge button, and then the request button. I find it very cluttered.
Right.
You know, they could get rid of the request button and just have the chat and a challenge. Positive thing, you can pin messages, which is a nice feature, and you can react on messages in chat with, I think they have 4 emotes.
Yep.
So that's kind of a nice feature. You know, I'll look for the positives there.
I think it's great. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's usable.
Yeah, true. I still can't edit when I type something.
Yeah.
It's making me crazy. There was a couple of glitches. You could not, at first, click on the profile when someone was requesting to join the clan. So, you know, you didn't know if they were from the enemy clan or if it was someone applying to join your clan legitimately, unless you accepted them.
Right.
And then you could check them out. So I think that was kind of weird, but they fixed that last week. So that was good. Now you can go back to checking things out. You have to press and hold on.
Press and hold, yeah.
Yeah. So that maybe that'll prevent accidental rejections. I'm not too sure. There was another potential glitch that I've heard about, and I haven't encountered it yet, but clan perk levels not rolling over. I've heard that clans have reached the points that they need to roll up to the next level, but it doesn't. They're stuck. Like, for example, someone I knew, they need to get 500 points, for example, to move up to level, whatever it was, 2 or 3.
Right.
They got the 500, but it didn't roll over, so they weren't able to do Clan Capital that weekend.
Oh.
So they were kind of disappointed on that.
No, I didn't hear about that. That's kind of disappointing. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully that got fixed, but, you know, they were out of luck that weekend. And then Supercell, it was kind of a nice touch. Gold Pass discount. First-time Gold Pass buyers were able to purchase the Gold Pass for a really big discount. In Canada, it's regular $9.99. And I was able to buy it on one of my accounts for $3.99. So that's a huge saving. But you couldn't go into the Supercell shop and do it that way. That would have been really nice. They were too smart for me there.
That's right. Would have stocked up for a year.
I would have stocked up big time. And then this month, they've given us the space theme. What do you think?
I kind of like it. It's different. It's Buzz Lightyear, but it's not bad. It's not bad. What do you think? Did you buy them?
I did not. I got the one skin, I forget which one it was, with the gold pass. The scenery is okay. You know, it's nice and clean. I've seen a lot of positive reviews on it. It's just the space thing is not something that appeals to me particularly. And the hero skins, my thought is instead of buying a skin, I'll save my money and maybe I'll buy some ore next time it's available.
Okay. Wow. We've converted Kat.
Well, you know, I was always a big fan of the skins and everything, but, you know, now with all these different other passes that I have to buy, I have to be judicious in where I'm spending my money.
Agreed. It is still a game for entertainment, but it's not limitless, right?
No, exactly. My pocketbook is not a bottomless well.
The bottomless well. Unlike C-Notes, of course.
That's right. C-Note buys everything.
Everything.
All right. We've come to that point in the show where we can do some shout-outs. What have you got for shout-outs, Peter?
I'm going to shout out all those golfers out there. Season's getting warmer.
Oh, boy.
Almost time. Almost time again. That's all for me.
That's it? Oh, okay. That was easier. I've got a long one, so I'm going to make up for that short shout-out. First thing I want to shout out is I'm going to shout out Darian, Supercell's long-serving community manager. He was really excellent, I felt, at communicating with the Clash community and really brought something that was missing in the early years to the game. So lots of great memories of his various shenanigans in the update videos. And especially, you know, highlight for me was when he came on episode 50 with us. And if you haven't listened to that yet, please do. It was a really great chance to get to know him as a person outside of his various responsibilities in Clash of Clans.
Yeah.
And a big shout out to Trample Damage. He's a great supporter of all the pods and the Clash community. Really appreciate everything he does. and check out his podcast, Inside Clash, as well as all of his Clash content on YouTube and TikTok. And a really big...
And use code Tremple.
And a big shout out to all the folks in both Redthorn and the Raided. The clans are full and thriving, and I really appreciate each and every member in both clans. Really amazing group of players. And that's it for me for shout outs. So we're going to leave everybody with another song from our friend Jezza in honor of the world's warm-ups. Jezza wrote a song about ClashCon in Helsinki called Helsinki Final. Hope you enjoy.
Super sad announcing news. Something big was coming soon. All the Clash community went crazy. Could it be a new town hall or a hero called the Wrecking Ball? Turns out it was ClashCon in Helsinki. Oh Helsinki, oh Helsinki, oh Helsinki, oh Helsinki. There should be a podcast there to interview the gobs, I swear. No one seems to know just what they're thinking. The Valkyries and witches too, and lava hounds are people too. They'll all be at the ClashCon in Helsinki. Oh Helsinki, oh Helsinki. It's Nat and Coop and Halligan set their feet down on the ground in Finland. And all the people start to stare as they gaze upon Rancid's flowing hair. Almost as impressive as his heroes. Oh, Helsinki, oh Helsinki, oh Helsinki, oh Helsinki.
Thank you everyone for listening. The CFF is a family of clans who love to play various games such as Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, among others. You can send questions or comments to us on Twitter at RedthornCOC. To get more information on our clans, events, and podcasts, join the CFF Discord at discord.gg/clashfiles.